When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one and only Miss Amber Childers. Hello.
Hey. How are you? You know, I'm good. Yesterday I was definitely a little grouchy.
I get
it. I'm trying to like recognize my emotions a lot more, I feel like, these days, and like, you know, just observe how I'm feeling. But today I'm actually feeling really good.
Like, what makes you grouchy these days? I mean, like, other than the whole world. Because I have moments where, like, for no reason, I'm just, like, snapping at everyone. And I'm like, nobody did anything to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if I'm not PMSing, it's like, okay. I'm sick of people dying. I'm sick of politics. I'm sick of irresponsible people, you know. And I just, you know, it's time. It's
you have your days, right? Where you're just like, I'm exhausted now.
Yeah. Yeah. So my fiance is actually sitting on the couch next to me and we were reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And we had picked up this book, you know, probably like a year or two ago. And then we just brought it out again. And the book, have you read it?
No.
Oh my gosh. It is, you have to read it. It is such a good book. Like when you just need to put things in perspective, especially when you wake up in a bad mood. And the author's so funny, and it's just so good. It's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I've heard of it. Is it like, but I mean, it's really good, huh?
Oh, listen, I'm not a bookworm by all means. Like I have to read scripts and like, I'm just like reading homework and all that stuff. So I'm not really into reading books that much this year. This is a book I would highly recommend.
And it really just helps you just breathe in and say, who cares?
Yeah, like, why was I even worried about that? And it's not like his whole purpose of the book is like, you have to care about the right things, right? You have to give a fuck to the right things and give less fucks about the things that are less important.
Totally. So. That makes sense. I mean, especially with what's going on in the world, we have to just, you know, who cares about anything else, really?
Yeah.
Where are you and your fiance? You guys are in LA?
We moved to Ventura County. At pre-pandemic, right? Like in January. And we had bought this house as a second home, but more to turn it into a second business as a wedding venue. Clearly, like put a pin in that.
That's not happening.
Yeah. And then we were like, oh, fuck it. Let's go like quarantine out there. And we did we have five kids together and, we actually love it. And I love not being in LA. I really do.
So many people. So I live in New York City. I mean, I'm still here, but it's same thing. Like I know so many people in LA and like New York that are just, they went to like another house and they're just like, I just don't want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's one of the silver linings is like, we feel like we have to be like, you know, for like city people mostly, you know, we have to be there. That's where the action is. That's where like, but for me, LA, I always tell people this, when I'm landing in LA, I have really bad high anxiety. And as soon as I like am over, the plane is like descending, I feel like it all comes back just because it's the energy and I'm really sensitive to things like that. I just feel like the energy just like, it sucks, it just sucks my soul.
I mean, New York is kind of the same. Like you just get all consumed with work and business like as you get close to LA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it is where most of your work is. Like, where are you from originally? Are you from LA area or?
So I grew up outside of LA about an hour and a half. So when I would drive up to auditions, it was like, I thought, you know, and I was young. So LA was kind of like, you know, where all my dreams were. So I was really fascinated, but I always had this plan to go to New York. And I was very lucky when I was 17, I booked a soap in New York and I was able to go there. So I experienced New York for 3 years. And so that was like a dream come true. And I would recommend it for anyone. It was just such a, and then I moved back to LA 3 years later and I'm like, like I love New York. Love.
I think I agree. I think everyone should live in New York. Like if they haven't at least once.
100%.
I mean, doing it like when you're 17, like that's a good time to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was really scared though. So if I could do it all over again, I would have been a little more adventurous and a little more just, I was like really, I worked a lot, right? When you're on a soap, you work a lot of hours. And so my life was really, it wasn't like I was in college and like partying and stuff like that. So I wasn't even 21 yet, so I couldn't even drink. So anyways, maybe it's not a good idea. Never mind.
Did you just go like from your house to the set of All My Children, which we're going to discuss?
Yeah, my parents were terrified like for me. And so they put me across the street from ABC Studios on the Upper West Side. I joined Reebok, which I think now is like LA something.
I think so. I live in Chelsea, but I mean, I know the area. So
I was in Midtown where it was like, or the Upper West Side where it was like family oriented. It wasn't like fun action, but again, like I was working a lot. So.
Did you always want to be an actress like growing up?
Yeah, I did.
You smile when you say that. Like it just, there was nothing else. Like you were just, this is it.
Yeah. And I smile because I like the idea of, you know, being working with babies. Like I'm obsessed with babies. But really when people would ask me like, oh, what's your plan B? And I was like, there is no plan B. Like this is what I have to do. And I still get that feeling when like people ask me that question because I get excited, you know, it's really what I love. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, some days I'm like cussing, you know, because I'm like, I hate this business, it sucks, like I'm that's it, I'm done, no more. And then, you know, time passes and you're like, okay, this is why. And then you watch a really good movie or you know you talk to a friend who's also in the business and you realize like, okay, this is why I'm doing it, right? And sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us in the moment.
Like, what do you hate about the business? And I'm not saying there's not things to hate, but what don't you like about the business?
What don't I like about the business? There's just a lot of bullshit. You know, there's a lot of fake people. And I know that's in any business, you know, or any industry. But I can't be fake. You know, it's really, that's... Like I can't pretend that I'm someone I'm not. I just don't buy into like the Hollywood of it. And I know some people live for that. That's for me, that's like the hardest part, you know, just being like, I just feel like when you're talking to people over the phone, they're just bullshitting you all day. And you're like, dude, come on. Like, just be real.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could see that. I think like, yes, I think there's a lot of people that buy into it. For me, like, I think that's fun, you know, like in the beginning for like a month or 3 months. And then you're just like, ugh, who wants to deal with all this? It's like exhausting.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is emotionally exhausting. You have to have a very thick skin.
Yes.
You develop one, right? I don't think anyone knows how difficult it is until you start. And then you're like, it's the people who, you know, you have to persevere in a business like this.
Did you have like problems in the beginning with like, or do you, I guess now you don't like with just getting no's or rejections, like did you personalize all that?
Yeah, I think when you're young, it's just fun and it's like, whatever, you're just being a kid. But as you get older, you know, I have 2 children, like I need to make money and some days, some years are really good. It's like, hey guys, I haven't worked in a year. Like, let's figure something out, you know? And I don't really know for agents and managers, they're part of a business and it's a numbers game for them. And they're trying to get all their other clients working. So one thing that I think I really learned over the past, I don't know, 3 years is you really have to take charge of your own and not be afraid. Take charge of your own career and not be afraid of of saying, guys, what's going on? Like, you know, and just call, you know, you get self-conscious naturally in this business, but you, I feel like you have to let your guard down when this is your career, you know, it's up to you. If you want to do something, you can't wait for the phone to ring, fucking figure it out.
Right. Which I think is hard for like a lot of people in the business that are like actors and actresses. Cause it's like a different skill set, at least in my experience, you know, like I think a lot of actors and actresses don't have, and this is not an insult, they just don't have that business side mm-hmm. to them. That's, you know, they're creative.
Yeah. That's me. I get so scared to have those conversations, but I've had to learn, like, do you fucking care about your career? Like, this is, you get one life. And I think as you get older, you're, you know, you're mortality sets in and you realize life is short. Life is so short. You get one chance and you are never guaranteed tomorrow. So what are you going to do today?
Did you know that 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair? If you're among them, know you're not alone. And there's a solution you can trust to deliver results, Nutrafol. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shredding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth, of course, takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in around 3 to 6 months. Listen, it actually really works. I'm not going to mention any names, but a family member of one of the RHONJ, Real Housewives of New Jersey, I know has been on this for around 2 years, and I saw a huge difference in her hair growth. Listen, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show Behind the Velvet Rope by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code VELVET to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, and that's spelled Nutrafol. Nutrafol.com. And the promo code is VELVET. Enter that and you get $15 off. When you subscribe, you'll receive automatic monthly delivery so you never miss a dose. What are you waiting for? Nutrafol.com, promo code VELVET. Start restoring your hair and your confidence today.
Yeah, I would agree. And especially with COVID. Like, I think to me, it's like, if you haven't had like a coming to Jesus with yourself now, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like if you, well, that's the thing. Like, I get that it's a business, but like, if you're still fake now and you're still buying into all of that, I what are you waiting for, people? Like, this is it. We're all the same. We're all home. Like, yeah, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. So that's, so let's talk about 17 when you land the part of Colby Chandler on the classic, iconic All My Children.
It was really fun. It was really scary. I graduated high school early and I moved to New York. Well, actually I started working, flew back, did my graduation. And I was so excited to be in New York, but I was also so scared. I remember sitting in my apartment crying, like, you know, what did I just do? So lonely. Because it's such a big city and there's not a lot of young people on, you know, 66 West 66 and Riverside Boulevard. There's just not.
No.
But it was really, you know, it was definitely, it was hard work. It was definitely more work than I expected. And, you know, I always tell people the work was like as if I went to college and studied acting, you know, for 3 years, memorizing 30 pages a day of just dialogue that's constantly like repeating what you just said, because there's no reruns in soap. So you constantly have to like keep the audience up to date on what's going on. I just, it was really hard and really difficult, but I'm so, so lucky I had that opportunity because I worked with some amazing, you know, veterans like David Canary, Susan Lucci. They're just great people.
Did you watch soaps before that? Like, did you know like what a big deal All My Children was?
You know, so funny. I remember I used to watch Days of Our Lives. I don't know why. I was so young and I would sit there and watch it when like Marlena and Stefano and like, I don't know why I was so drawn to maybe I was drawn to the drama of it. But so when I booked it, I was like, that's so weird. Like, maybe I put that out there in the universe and the universe didn't realize, like, you know, just gave that to me. Yeah, I did. It's pretty wild to think about it.
So you were like an NBC, because I feel like you were either CBS, NBC, or ABC as far as like what you watched for soaps.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I watched Days of Our Lives because it was dark. It was like darker. And when I was younger, I was a little weird like that. I like darker things. I don't know how to say that.
No, that makes sense. For me, it was all like, it was mostly General Hospital, but then just because All My Children was on like while we were still at school, but then eventually sometimes I would tape it, but I was all about GH. So I get it.
Yeah.
Did you live alone when you lived in New York, like at 17?
That was really silly of me.
Were your parents like, what? You're going to New York?
And I grew up in a Mormon household, and like my parents were like super conservative, like controlling parents. And so for them to even let me go to New York was a big deal. I had originally booked All My Children when I was 15.
Wow.
And they basically were like, the whole family would have to get up and move. And I had two other sisters, and my parents had their business out here. So there was no way. And at that point, I cannot believe my parents let me move to New York. Now that I'm thinking about it, shocking. But I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
I really am.
Did you have scenes with Susan Lucci? I just can't remember.
I did. Not a lot, but because it tied into
because she was married to Adam Chandler at some point.
Yeah, she was. And then she was involved with the Montgomery family. And then what happened? There was like a love triangle at some point. I don't remember exactly, but there was a love triangle. So the family's like intertwined.
What was that like? Like, what was Susan like?
She's amazing. That woman is amazing. She really is. She is so delicate and dainty and like, I don't know. I just, everything about her is so great. I remember I asked her at one point, I'm like, you come in here wearing 6-inch heels. Like, how do you do it? Like, what's the secret behind being able to wake up, put heels on, and walk around all day? And she's like, I practice when I was like, just when you're home, just put on heels and walk around. I'm like, that sounds so uncomfortable. But she's just everything. I don't know. She's just such a wonderful woman. She's so great. And I feel so lucky to have worked with her and David Canary, obviously, who's no longer with us, but just so patient and kind. And yeah.
Was AMC like, you know, like you go to Sirius Radio, like it's the house that Howard Stern built. There's a Stern wing. It's all about Howard Stern. Was like that, like that. I mean, everyone had a great part on All My Children, but was it like the house that Susan built and like, you know, you just, people like revered Erica Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. So where we filmed, we actually were in the same building as The View, which was really fun. I really enjoyed being able to like, because I would go home and I'd watch The View. I don't know. It was so, and who was on The View at that point? Oh, I can't think of her name.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck? No, that was before
her,
probably. Oh, really?
It was her. And then what's the woman that Trump always gets in fights with Rosie O'Donnell? Yes.
Yeah.
She was on it too. I don't know. It's just fun. Listen, I was 17. I had like no worries. I was making a lot of money for that age. And I was having such a good time and being in the city. I just miss it. I really do. I love going back to New York. Now we were in New York in February when COVID was there, but no one knew about it.
Right.
And that was the last time that I was there. So,
I mean, I've been to like 55 countries. I've been to all 7 continents. Like, I'm like a traveler.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like an adventurous traveler. Like in New York, you know, just give me my martini and let me sit at a nice establishment. But when I go away, I kind of can roll up my sleeves and like be like, okay, like this is the culture. Let's actually experience what's going on here.
That's so neat. What's the best place you've been to?
I mean, my favorite is probably Africa. I love like the animals are just so, you know, the people are great, the food is great, but like the animals, you're just like, you know, this is like in their natural habitat, just watching. Like we're just, and it's actually a really relaxing vacation because like you really, you could stay well and you just sit in these like Jeeps and you're driven around all day. Like it's not like a roughing it vacation. So it's kind of, it's like watching a live movie, but they're animals. It's really, and you get really close a lot of the times.
Oh, wow. That's so neat.
And like, there's a fear factor, but not really. I mean, then, you know, you hear about all these things that happen, but like when you're in it, you're like, that's not going to happen to us. Cause you get close, you get pretty close. So if you're the type that, I mean, you don't have to get close, but a lot of the Jeeps get really close to the animals. So
that's so cool. One day.
I would highly recommend it. I can't tell you how much traveling I've been doing in the past few weeks, and airports and airplanes are packed. People want to get away. Listen, if your dreams of that vacation or enjoying the fun of life are turning back into a reality for you, don't stress over the financial setbacks that can keep you from saying yes. Credit Karma is here to help you keep your financial goals in check so you won't have to hit pause on a good time. Credit Karma's game-changing technology shows you tailored offers for credit cards and personal loans that you're more likely to be approved for so you can apply with more confidence. They use your credit and other financial information to show you custom recommendations. Whether you want cash back, travel rewards, or to consolidate debt, Credit Karma can help you find the offers that fit your goals, because your goals may not be the same as my goals. With a selection of options and approved odds, you have the power to make informed decisions. Credit Karma, apply with confidence and you will be on that beach enjoying that drink in no time. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast to learn more and find offers tailored just for you. That's creditkarma.com/podcast. Or you can see your offers on the Credit Karma app. Apply with confidence today. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast or the Credit Karma app. So all my children, you never saw any like diva behavior from Miss Lucci on set. She was like just wonderful.
No. Yeah. No, she really is. She's so great.
And then you left, that the time was over.
Yep. So I left, I came back to LA.
Was being on All My Children, you know, like was being on a soap, like a really good, like you said, education, like, was it some of the hardest work you've done? Like just cause it's every day.
Yeah. And when I came, it was a lot of work. When I came back to LA, I really struggled. There's this like stigma around soap actors and you know, that's like, it's a whole nother industry, right? That's their world. But I always knew that I wanted to break into feature films and television. And I had no idea how hard it was going to be. I really didn't. And I was in shock. I was devastated. You know, people were like, you're not, you know, going to work. You need to stay in the soap world. And I'm like, I didn't sign up like to just stay here. You know, there's things that I really felt like I needed to do and characters that I wanted to explore. And so I put myself in acting class. And it wasn't even that I was bad. It was just that there's a stigma that follows you. And it's really, that's like a part of the business that's really shitty, right? It's like, you know, just let me come in and audition and prove to you that I'm not going to read the lines like I would if I'm like in a soap scene.
Right.
And so I had to prove myself. And that was a huge struggle for many years until I started getting booking like little roles. And then, you know, eventually I feel, you know, I think I eventually established good relationships with casting directors. And I think that was really important.
Yeah, I mean, that is a thing, like the soap stigma. It's almost like if you didn't work on All My Children and make money and have a credit to your name, you might have gotten auditions, mm-hmm. which makes no sense.
Mm-mm. No.
At all. What was I going to say? You weren't on All My Children at the same time that Sarah Michelle Gellar was, right? I think she was way before you.
Yeah.
And then, well, one of the movies you booked was David Spade, right? You were in a David Spade movie?
Mm-hmm. That was before All My Children.
So that must have been fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I still run into David like at, you know, industry parties and whatnot. It's so funny. he's just so funny.
He's
so
like funny. A funny guy.
He is so funny. Yeah. And like we, you know, you see people like once a year in the business. Like if you go to like Oscar or Emmys or whatever it is.
Right.
He's just like, oh, there's David. Like I see you once a year. Hi, David. Like, how's life? Okay. And then you don't see him for the next year.
And he like, I don't know if you had scenes together. Like he like remembers you from that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's funny.
Yeah. He's great.
So what's the best piece of advice, like either him or like Susan Lucci gave you, other than the heels? Like, is there anything like that you learned from people like that? You know, like when you were young or.
I think for me, one of the biggest lessons I learned when I did a movie called The Master, and Amy Adams, Joaquin Phoenix, and Hoffman really like taught me, if you just let, like, you know, the skill of acting, right? I'm not talking about like the business in general, but just getting comfortable in my own skin, right? Because I think that's the other, you know, issue with the business is that you try to keep up with how everyone else looks or acts or whatever. But as soon as you shed all those layers and you just become who you are and it feels natural and good and you're not pushing it and you're, you know, you kind of just find your groove. I feel like that's the best advice because I think once I learned by watching them a lot. That's when I felt like I really like didn't give a shit anymore. And when people don't give a shit, then it makes like for really good television. I like, even if you watch a movie now, you could really see the difference between like someone that's really trying to act in a scene or someone that is just so comfortable in their craft. Right. And I feel like I'm getting to that point now. And I feel like I have so much more work that I need to do. And I'm excited. And I really look forward to be able to like play and life experience too, like being able to play, you know, someone that was divorced or play someone that was like a mom. Like I have those real life experiences now under my skin. And I feel like that definitely helps as well.
That must be, I mean, was that hard, like not to compare yourself to everyone else and to realize like, if you don't get a part, it's not necessarily have anything to do with you, you know, like then you look at the person that gets the part and you're like, well, obviously that's not me. Like that must've been hard to learn.
Right. Yeah. Over time, you definitely learn that for sure. Yes. Before it's like, you just compare yourself. You're like, well, she has dark hair. So maybe I should dye my hair darker. Hey, maybe I need to like lose 10 pounds or hey, whatever it is. Like, that's just, it's like, that's the gross part of the business. But again, like I said, like once you are just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, like, I feel like as you get older as well in the business, you learn what roles you feel comfortable with doing. You know, I get auditions. I'm like, dude, this is not me. Like, this is going to be me pushing it so bad. Like, so far, it's going to not turn out great. So I feel like I feel comfortable saying no to things now because I know what I'm capable of doing.
Is that easy for you? I have a hard time saying no. Like in my business with this podcast, I get pitched people and I say yes. And then sometimes I'm like, I mean, you're not one of them, but then sometimes I'm like, it works out okay. But I'm like, this is off brand. I had no interest in speaking to this person anyway. Like, why is this happening? I have a hard time saying no. Like, do you find like you're okay with it now? Like that's a good.
Well, because I want to work, right? So when you haven't worked and like someone finally says like, okay, here's a job. You're like, oh, great. And you're like, oh, wait. Like I have a family. Like, is this worth leaving my children for, I don't know, 6 months, 4 months, however long it is, right? Television's a lot longer than film. So you have to like go down the checklist. Does it financially make sense? I have to remember, I have an agent, manager, and lawyer that I have to pay. And then I have to pay the government on top of that. So like those things matter as you get older. So I feel like all that kind of has to go into play when you're choosing, you know, whether you take a job or whether you even, you know, put in the effort to put yourself on tape. Cause right now, obviously we're all putting ourselves on tape. So yeah.
That makes sense. Is there any part out there that is like a really well-known part where you're like, you know, we'd be shocked to find out that you got you know, like fourth round, like pretty close to getting?
I would say very early. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but one that definitely sticks with me the most was when I was 13. There's a movie called 13. And it's like a really famous movie with Ashton Kutcher and Nikki Reed. And
was it Evan Rachel Wood too? Was she in that?
Wood, yes.
Okay.
And I booked it. I even know where I auditioned. That's how sick. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but then like those ones just like stick with you.
I get it.
I auditioned like 3 times. I did a screen test and they were finally like, we want you. But your parents have to sign off on like, I think I had to like, oh, maybe it wasn't Ashton Kutcher, it was Josh Harnett. We had to like give him a lap dance and there was like girl on girl action, like stuff like that. And my parents were like, hell no, you're not doing this. And I was like, Deb, this was the first big movie, like big movie.
With everything going on in the world and all the technology around us, I used to find it so hard to disconnect, turn my mind off, and relieve stress. Well, not anymore. Unidragon's wooden puzzles have solved all of that. They are the highest quality puzzles. All the parts have their own unique shape. They're not like your average puzzle, and in fact, they actually become collectible works of art. They're fabulous and memorable designs and images. They have animals too, tigers, wolves, pandas, unicorns, and so many others. These are not your average puzzle. Laser cutting is used so all the parts perfectly fit together and is such high quality. It's great for myself, but I've used it for so many gifts for friends and family. Unidragon's puzzles have changed my life. So listen, you guys need to head over to unidragon.com and use my code VELVETROPES and you get 10% off your first purchase. That's right. Just by listening to this podcast, head on over to unidragon.com. That's unidragon.com. Use my code VELVETROPES and you get 10% off your first purchase. These puzzles are intellectual. They're high-end. They're stimulating. They've changed my life.
Then many years later, what's the Kristen Stewart movie franchise? Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, the thing with Robin Pattinson, like the whole
director of that, like went on to direct Twilight. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Twilight with Kristen, they were all in it. I'm like, oh my god, Mom, look at if you would have just said yes to that one movie, I could have been in the Twilight like trilogy. But so that's the only one that really just like. I understand why my parents were doing it now, but oh, man.
And like 13, like I remember that was a big deal when it first came out. It was a huge movie. Yeah,
people weren't making movies like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something that did work out, Ray Donovan.
Yeah, that was fun.
How did that come about? Because that's, you know, that's a huge like fan favorite for a lot of people. It's a lot of people's favorite show.
You know, it was one of those that I just auditioned for. And you, like I was mentioning before, it's like sometimes you just like walk into roles and you just, it fits you, you know, you're like, oh, this feels really good. And I think I could do this, but I wasn't sure because it was Showtime. And, you know, like, I feel like that's every actor's dream is like to land on like an HBO or Showtime or, you know, something amazing like that. And Ann Bitterman was there, the creator, and it was just something that worked out. And I remember... I remember getting a call that I booked it. I was in Palm Springs and I was just like in shock. I was in shock. It was like, every job that I book, I feel like I'm always in shock because I feel so fortunate to be able to continue to work. And I always go into the mindset of when I'm on a job, like, you know, you give it your all, you do your best because this could be the last job you ever do, right? And because you just never know.
I'll admit it. As important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate,
I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority. And I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And I just couldn't believe it. And it was so fun. And it was in LA. And I had my oldest daughter in London. I was just so happy to be working. It was just, and to be able to work with all the amazing actors that are on that show. I just felt really, really blessed.
How was Liv Schreiber?
He's good. He's good. He's really talented. He is super, super, super talented.
Were you, like, did you learn anything from him or, like, that whole experience of being on Ray Donovan? Because it was, like, such a well-written show.
I think one of the things that I learned, and what I appreciated about that show, was we rehearsed. And I really love the process of rehearsing. Just because, you know, once you get comfortable and knowing where you're at in a scene, where you're standing, where you're moving, your cues, like how it's going to flow, you discover new things. And that's frankly something that also Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, I learned from him as well. And Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, but he fought for what he believed in, or he does, I guess. And I really appreciated that because I feel like actors, you know, a lot of the times you're insecure and you're being hired and you feel like just a piece of meat. And when someone says jump, you say how high, and that's just the way it works in the business. And I really appreciated that he fought for what he believed in, what, you know, because at the end of the day, they wrote the character. The writers, you know, work really hard in the writer's room, but you have to make that character alive. And if it doesn't feel, if something doesn't feel right in a scene, you need to listen to that, you know, and say, I'm just like, this is not clicking for me. This moment doesn't feel right. Or we really need to change like the markings. Cause this, I feel like I need to stand when I'm saying this particular line. I don't want to be moving or whatever it is. And that's something that I learned from him. And I appreciate that.
Did you think the audition went well? Like, did you kind of know you got it, even though you said you were shocked? Like, can you tell, like, oh, this was a good audition?
Well, here's the thing with acting. There's been a lot of auditions where I'm like, oh, I fucking crushed it. There's been auditions where I walked out, I'm crying. I'm like, that was so relieving. I know there's no way I didn't book that job. There's no way. And then they're like, you didn't book it. You're like, what was that feeling? Like, what, you know, you get like, you experience that a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that happened. But in, for Ray Donovan, it was something that you learn to say like, okay, I left everything in the room, right? That's like one of the things that they teach you in acting class.
Right.
And you give it your all. And guess what? Not every audition is going to be great. Either you're fighting with your husband before you walk in, or your kid's calling you bitching about something, or your mom calls you and is like, you know, like bugs you about something, or maybe there's something catastrophic that happens like in the world during that, whatever it is, you know, there's so many factors that can affect you as you go into an audition. So I thought I knew I did well, But you just don't know, you know, you just leave it in the room. Like, I gave it my all, and then now I got to go home and play mommy, right? Because I have kids waiting at home for me.
Right. Well, you know, you said something drew you to the part, like, you played Ashley. She was a bit crazy.
I'm good at playing crazy.
Well, you are.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You are. Right. So, like, that's what I was going to say. Like, where do you think all that came from? Because now we're going to get into you, which is, I can't even tell you how much I love that show. But it's like another crazy character. So, like, why do you think Ashley was such a good fit? Like, where'd you learn to play crazy so well?
That's a good question. I mean, where did I learn to play crazy? Maybe it was Days of Our Lives, watching all those crazy shows. For me, it's just understanding and justifying someone's crazy, right? Because if you don't agree why your character is being crazy, that's not going to work. So you have to know what you want. And that's a big thing. Like, what does she want? And have empathy for all my characters, right? And that's how it was in NBC Aquarius. Susan Atkins, who was one of the ones that murdered Sharon Tate. You know, those are hard characters to play. And, you know, I love to do a lot of research. So for me, it's like, you know, Ashley was an addict. She had a lot of, you know, we created this like massive backstory. So it definitely helps not play it. It's just who she is, right? Her life experiences have made her an addict, or, you know, whether she had, you know, was abused or whatever it was, those are all things that you have to like create this huge backstory in order to be able to be authentic with the character.
Have you ever played a character that you just are like, this person's horrible and I don't like them? Like, I don't know if that ever happens for an actor or an actress. Or there's always, I mean, I guess that's the whole goal, right? Is to always find something that humanizes the person.
Oh, for sure. You have to. Yeah. I don't think you can hate the character you play.
Probably not.
No.
Well, yes, Ashley was crazy. And now we get into you, which is, how did you come about? Because, I mean, it's a great show.
So that was another audition I went to. David Rappaport, who's the casting director, I've been auditioning for him for many, many, many years. I just had gone in and read this character for Sarah Schachter and Sarah Gamble, who I had worked with on Aquarius. And it was something that happened very quickly. I think I auditioned like on a Thursday and I had to leave for New York on a Monday. So it was pretty wild. Or I left on a Sunday, something like that. It was just, it like happened so quickly.
And was that the same thing? Was that an audition you think you fucked up that actually was great? Or you just like, did you have a feeling about that?
How did I film that audition? No, I think it was just, it was not a super, I mean, it all depends on the scenes too, that they pick for you to read. But you know, sometimes they're going in and they're looking for a type, right? They want a type. But I think Sarah Gamble had me in mind for the role. She had previously, you know, again, worked with me on Susan Atkins. So she knew that I was capable of playing like, quote, crazy, I guess. But in you, Candace obviously is crazy for a justifiable reason.
Yes.
So yeah, it was good. I was really excited to get the part and be able to go to New York and work in New York. And, I was really excited to work with Penn, and I don't know, it was great.
Did you know Penn before?
I didn't, no.
Did you watch Gossip Girl?
No, but I auditioned for Gossip Girl like a few times.
Really? For what role?
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Well, if you have time in quarantine, I know you have children, but maybe you and your fiancé, if you want something to do, go back and start at episode one, season one, and just dive into the joys that is Gossip Girl.
Oh my gosh, I know. Can you believe it?
That's
so long ago.
It was long ago, but it is just such a a gift from above.
Yeah.
And now, it's
the second one, right?
Yeah, it's coming back now.
Spinoff. That's going to be interesting.
Do you watch, like, do you watch TV in general, or you're just so busy?
I've gotten so addicted to the news. It's really disgusting. What do I watch? Babe, what have we watched? I don't even know.
We watched the
Oh, that's right. See, I don't remember anything. We watched the Hugh Hefner.
American Playboy.
That was amazing.
That's good.
Highly, highly recommend that. Yeah. I don't like wasting my time watching like stupid shows that I don't like.
You know? I get it.
Like, yeah, I'm not like, I'm like very anti-reality, but I definitely will admit I got sucked into Tiger King.
It sucks you in, right?
It sucks you in. And it, that, I mean, I'm glad because it was so like the humor and the, like the crazy, and I come from a family of like complete rednecks. And so it's like so funny to me just to like watch the, like the shit show happen.
I mean, I wonder though, if it would have been such a hit if it wasn't for COVID. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's really neither here nor there.
I mean, it's true. Like, you know, I've seen it happen for, you know, movies. I mean, look at what happened to the Dark Knight when there were mass shootings and they had to pull it from theaters. Like, there's so much that goes into the distribution, right, of film and now television, really. So, yeah.
But I know. And now we have Carol Baskin was on Dancing with the Stars this past season.
No.
Yes. And she got far. She got far.
See, why do we justify good behavior? I don't understand. Bad behavior. That's so crazy.
And, you know, listen, I don't know. Everyone gets paid something different for Dancing with the Stars. But, I mean, it's a paycheck. And I'm sure it was a pretty decent paycheck by ABC. And, I mean, like, Dancing with the Stars, that's major.
I'm going to YouTube it.
Yeah. No, she got pretty far. Well, speaking of distribution, were you shocked when like you premiered on Lifetime and then, you know, like it did okay, not great. I don't know if it was going to come back and then it goes over to Netflix and then it's like 43 million people. And then that changed everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that definitely goes with, we were like one of the shows, you know, where the model is, yeah, you put it on Lifetime and, you know, Lifetime doesn't have the platform that the show needed to be able to carry to a second season. But Netflix had our international rights and it did really well. And so when Lifetime decided to dump it, Greg Berlanti and Sarah Gamble, they took it to Netflix, which was a brilliant move on their part. And they bought it. And no one knew, you know, what was going to come about, but people really went bananas over it.
I was there right from the beginning on Lifetime. Let me just say that.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it was, you know, it was great. I mean, what's the funnest thing about playing Candace Stone?
I just love that she's so strong. I love playing strong women. Like, I feel like I, you know, when you play a character like Candace, she just represents so many women in the world and the things that she went through and dealt with, and she comes back, you know, for revenge. I don't know. I just love it. I really, really, really enjoy it. So it definitely, like, that's a job that I love getting out of bed 4 a.m. and going to set and just having fun.
Were you always supposed to be part of season 2? 'Cause I mean, that was a twist.
Yeah, I was.
And season 2 was great.
Yeah, season 2 was amazing. It was really fun. That was really, really fun. And it was nice to be able to come back to California and work here, you know, and be able to sleep in my own bed at night.
How is Penn as like a co-star?
He's amazing. Penn is so sweet. So sweet. He's so amazing. He's such a great guy.
What about, you know, we see Candace apparently get killed at the end of season 2.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
Well, I guess, first off, is Candace really dead?
Yeah, I mean, she was, yeah, her throat was slashed.
I think
she was pretty dead. There's a lot of blood. I don't think she's coming back.
I don't know. Who would have ever?
You never know. Listen, there was like hauntings and ghosts and like all that happened. I'm just walking upstairs because there's a thing kept on going off. It was making me crazy.
That's fine. Well, yeah. And there's flashbacks.
Yeah. And there's tons of stuff. So we'll see.
I mean, yes, there was a lot of blood, but I don't know. I guess to me, Candace is a fan favorite, and I'm just hopeful that somehow she's, I mean, are they filming season 3?
I really, really, yeah, they're filming. I would love that. If they ask me to come back, I will definitely, you know, love to come back and, you know, haunt Joe or who knows. I have no idea, but I love working with everybody, and I would be, you know, that would be fun to come back.
Are you going to watch season 3, which they're filming, if you're not in it?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
How does that work? You know, like, you get your script for the next week. Like, how much in advance did you know, like, oh, Candace is going away?
I knew very early on in the second season.
Does that change then how you play a character? Like, are you, you know, being aware of it, or it doesn't really change much?
No, I mean, I think that I think that they don't want, they prefer actors not to know. But it didn't change my, you know, my direction I took with Candace, right? It didn't alter any of that. And it was just one of those things that this is not a show, like a happy-go-lucky, like everyone survives. So...
No, there's been lots of deaths in you.
Yes.
When people come up to you or reach out to you and like recognize you, is it mostly like All My Children, you know, soap fans or rabid fans? Is it now from you?
Yeah, it's mostly you.
That's what I would expect. I mean, you never know, because soap fans are rabid. What about, you know, you mentioned reality TV. You don't really watch reality TV. What about, do a lot of reality TV fans reach out to you just because of the whole Randall connection? I mean, because I find soap fans and reality TV fans are some of the most rabid fans that there are.
Yeah, I get a lot of DMs.
I am sure that you do. Are you like shocked at like the power of reality TV? You know what I mean? That really you're an actress, you have nothing to do with reality TV. You're not even once removed. You're kind of like twice removed. And then were you shocked at like that whole, like, I'm getting DMs and this is now my life?
No, because it's not my life. You know? I mean, I guess you get sucked in by association. But that doesn't, you know, bother me. It's like, okay, whatever, you know?
Right. And like, you've been in the business for a while. So, I mean, like, does anything, is there ever like a media aspect of the business that shocks you? Like this whole thing with Randall and Lala, like when it first started, or are you just like, I've been around, this is how it works?
I mean, I don't know. It's something that I prefer not even to discuss, to be honest with you.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everything, you guys are, things are good now, I think.
It's, you know, you do the best you can. I'm focused on my family that I have now. My obviously my children, they're everything to me. And you just live your life every day. For me, it's like appreciating the things that I have, and my experiences that I've been through in the past have made me super strong and resilient. And you know, you do the best you can under the circumstances with co-parenting, and not every day is easy, but it's not the end of the world, right?
And your children are your priority, obviously.
Yeah.
Where did you meet your fiance?
I met him through a mutual friend in Los Angeles. So, yeah.
And you guys, were your wedding plans like now? Like, are they derailed because of COVID?
No.
Or you weren't that far along?
Yeah, we've been engaged for, was it almost 3 years, something like that. Almost 3 years, I think. There's no plans. We're just, you know, enjoying each other and enjoying our kids, and you know, we have 5 kids together, so it's a lot. But I'm sure the day will come. But we don't have a date or anything. There's no plans right now.
There's no point to rushing it, right?
No, no.
Would you, I mean, I know you said you don't watch reality TV, but what if someone came to you and said, I mean, having no ties to reality TV, but just everyone has a show now, what if someone said to you, you know, divorce, getting married again, have a fiance, like, let's do a reality show. Would you ever do a reality show?
No. Yeah. It's definitely not my cup of tea. I think, you know, I'm an actor, and I love, you know, working on good television and movies, and I'm totally okay. I don't need my life, you know, displayed. My life has already been displayed in public in a way that I would never want it, you know, or wish on anybody in a very hurtful way. So I've already, I guess, have had a little bit of a taste, but no, that's not my, you know, I'm an actor.
It's a whole different ball game. And I don't know. I mean, I can name many actors who have gone on to reality TV and it hasn't really transitioned well.
Yeah.
What is there certain types of roles? Like what's a type of role? Like you said, like a mother or someone who's divorced, like what type of roles like would you love to play? Like, is there a certain type of role?
Like, I definitely think like being able to play, you know, being able to play a mom would be really, really fun. I'm, you know, now that I'm have entered into my 30s, I feel like the roles definitely shift. They're more, I guess, more evolved as humans, and I love that. And I'm very excited to be able to play, you know, whatever role it comes next in my career. I'm really excited because I know I will be able to bring a maturity to it that I didn't necessarily have in my 20s. I'm really excited.
Do you think things have changed? Like, you know, you mentioned like 30s, like for women in Hollywood, you know, there's women now that like are creating their own parts. Like you said, like take charge of your own career. Women are working, like look at Meryl Streep, you know, like that wasn't much more of an issue. Where, you know, you would say an actress is whatever age, like put her out to pasture. Like, do you think that's come a long way or?
Yeah, I mean, for sure it has. I'm so lucky. I feel like there's women don't have expirations on their foreheads anymore, which is like sick and disgusting to me.
Kind of. Right? I mean.
I'm excited. I know I have a long career ahead of me.
Totally. Are there any other aspects? Do you have a preference? I mean, like you said, you want to work, like, do you love doing TV, movies? Like, it's just all, do you have a, like, what's the biggest difference for you versus like with like a series like you or Ray Donovan, like doing like a regular series? Is it just way more hours away from your children or?
Yeah. I mean, television is definitely a lot of hours, but I have no preference really. It's all about the character and who I'm playing. I would be so happy. Just, you know, yeah.
Is there, well, now I want to talk about, before we go, I want to talk about your jewelry. Let's talk about Amber Childers jewelry. How did that come about? And how did Kate Bosworth get involved?
So I started the jewelry company in between, Ray Donovan and whatever job I did next. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. My parents are entrepreneurs. I love jewelry. I love the meaning behind jewelry. And so I started designing pieces.
And do you love the process? Jewelry?
I do. I love what I do. I love being able to have an outlet, being able to have something that, that, you know, it definitely has changed my perspective in terms of a business. Like I understand business a little bit more of having my own business. I appreciate business owners. I know the struggle now, you know, and that's something that I, I'm glad I took, you know, whatever happens or comes about with my company, it definitely was a process that I really appreciate and I learned a lot from.
How did Kate Bosworth get involved?
So Kate helped early on in the process. She was more of like an ambassador of the company.
What about, do you love like red carpets, you know, just tying into jewelry? Like, do you love getting dressed up or are you just not? I mean, you do it for work.
I like being in my pajamas with no makeup at home, but it's fun. It can be fun. It depends on, you know, where you're going, who's there, you know, but it's, again, like LA could be, it's work.
So. Totally. It looks glamorous.
Yeah.
Well, your jewelry is amazing. I've checked it out online. Is there anything else you want us to cover, like that we haven't covered? I always like to give people a chance at the end to bring up anything you want. I'm still hoping we see Candace back on you. I'm hoping we see you in some, I'm more of a TV person than a film person. So I'm hoping you get work, but I'm hoping we see you back on some amazing TV show soon.
Thank you. No, I'm really excited to see the world get back on track. And I think it's really important, you know, to just be in this moment that we have at home with our families. And I know it's been a long year for everybody. And so I'm really looking forward to the future. I'm, you know, very grateful for the things that I have in my life. I'm very grateful for the experiences of work. I'm, you know, so grateful for my children and my partner. And I'm just really looking forward to, you know, the future. If I'm lucky, if I get to live another day.
I mean, I'm thinking like one day we'll probably hopefully all look back on this and be like, that time at home with our loved ones was like, we are in our pajamas. Like I'm happy to stay home too. I mean, I'm always on the go and I'm just like,
I'm a homebody.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, I mean, your mind is what will fuck you up during COVID. I mean, everyone, if you have a roof over your head, whether it's a huge place, a small place, like you have what you need to survive. It kind of like you get a different perspective on the world. It's like, it's not your physical surroundings, it's your mind. And you just, that's the biggest challenge, I think.
Yeah.
But I think one day we'll look back and be like, remember those days where we were trapped inside? Like I would go back to that and just to stay home with my loved ones for 6 months.
I know. It's great. I don't know.
Right? Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to many more of your crazy psychotic parts or transitioning to other parts, playing mothers and divorcees. Where can everybody find you online?
So my website is amberchilders.com and my Instagram is amberchilders_official. Don't ask why. It's just, that's what.
Well, everyone needs to follow you. So enjoy the rest of your quarantine with your fiance and children, and we will speak soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review. Because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.